If you have your Bibles there, go ahead and open to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And while you're doing that, I just want to, this last week, if most of us have heard, but Ann Schlegel went home to be with the Lord. And, you know, we talked last week about that there's a time when all of the pain and all of the suffering and all of the brokenness of this world will come to an end. We said it's when we see him face to face. And that is all done now for Ann. No more pain, no more suffering. And tough on this side. And we're here to wrap our arms around you guys and love you guys. We're going to have a service this coming Thursday at 10 a.m. And right here at the church, and then we'll have a reception afterward. And just want for the reception, we're going to bring food, your favorite dish, or whatever you like. You can see Jennifer after service, and just touch base. We'll make sure we have all of that set up, and get a chance to be the body of Christ, and really to be His arms and His feet, and to love on each other. And this morning, I want to share for just a few minutes. In the Word, and then we're going to spend more time this morning being the body of Christ. Paul's going to talk about what that means, and then we're going to spend some time actually doing that and doing what he talks about here. So we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where Paul, he's been talking about the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, and today he's going to use an illustration. So he's been preaching his sermon. This is the illustration for his sermon, and actually doesn't need much illustration because he does a great job of it, but we'll walk through it together. This last week, Kim and I were out on a hike. We try to do that once a week, and it's interesting because we hike differently when we're out. There's the starting point and there's the ending point, and she is destination oriented, and her head's down, and she's watching the trail, and she's going, and I'm like the guy that's like, squirrel, we got, you know, slow down, and kind of can get distracted pretty easily. But what I was thinking about, because Paul's going to use an analogy here talking about the body, and when you're hiking or when you're doing whatever you're doing, all of the parts of the body work together. My feet need to be knowing what they're doing with the rocks on the trail. Your eyes got to be watching. Your lungs got to be working. And the whole body works together when you're on a hike. About, I don't know, 3/4 of the way through, something happened to my hip. And I was hurting and going along. And, you know, it was only my hip that was hurting, but it affected the whole body. It affected everything. And it was difficult to get back home at that point. And that illustration, that analogy of the body, is one of the greatest pictures that Paul gives us. Paul uses that analogy here this morning. And I want to touch on just a couple brief things that he talks about. And I actually want to get to the end, which is very pertinent to what we're dealing with as a church family today. Couldn't have been more timely, I don't think, what Paul has to say here about how the body functions and cares for one another. And so, by way of introduction, I want to give you kind of the big picture of what that means, how we are the body of Christ and what Paul is referring to here. And follow me on this. The Bible says that there is one God and that He created us in His image. And in His image means that when He created us, He breathed life into us, His Spirit living in our spirit. And that was different than all of the rest of creation. That was for mankind. And He created each one of us with value and with purpose. And the Bible goes on to tell us that we disobeyed God, though. We sinned. The heart of sin is, I don't need God. I'm going to be independent. I'll do what I want. I'm going to do my own thing, my own way. And we went that direction. The result of that sin was a separation from God. And God says death came from that. And that was the Spirit of life. The Spirit of God, we were separated from Him, that life that He had breathed into us, and things weren't like they were meant to be. And so that's when death entered the world. But God, knowing the mess that we were in, brought on by ourselves, because of His great love for us. I want to stress that, because He loves you so much. That's why He did what He did, that He stepped into human history. That's Jesus, God in human flesh. And Jesus did ministry. He was on a mission while He was here, and He was empowered by the Holy Spirit. And in fact, it says that He lived the perfect Spirit filled life. He set aside all of His deity. It says He emptied Himself of His divine nature. And so He was still fully God and fully man, but He came and He trusted in the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit. And as he did, he taught about sin and he taught about forgiveness and he taught about restoring that relationship that had been broken and how that was going to take place. And he talked about another kingdom, and he began to show what that kingdom looked like as he brought healing to people. The blind saw, the lame walked, and he brought wholeness to lives that were broken. He modeled the perfect Spirit-filled life. And then he lived the perfect sinless life, and then he died in our place so that we could be reconciled to God. That relationship could be made right again. His Spirit could live in us again. And then 3 days later, it says that he rose from death, proving that he had conquered Satan and sin and death. He did that for us. He conquered even this frightening thing that we look at called death, that no longer has a grip on us because of what Jesus did. And then he ascended back into heaven where he's alive and he's ruling and he's reigning. And it says then he sent the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that he trusted to empower his life on earth. He sent that Spirit to live in us, to come back, to live in his people, to make us his people again. And it's the Holy Spirit, and it's only the Holy Spirit, that opens our eyes to who Jesus is. And it gives us hearts that love Jesus, and it gives us minds that open up and understand who Jesus is, and it gives us wills that want to be obedient to Jesus. It takes my heart and becomes his heart, and my desires become his desire. His desires become my desires, and his agenda, his mission becomes our mission. That's what it means when he puts his life back into us. And he gives each one of us, every Christian, the ability to continue his mission here on earth, to continue to do ministry like Jesus did ministry. And in that, some of us teach and some of us serve and some of us administrate and some of us have the gifts of hospitality and love on people. Some of us have the gifts of help and all of these different gifts. Those are the gifts of the Holy Spirit that Paul has been talking about for this whole chapter. And so he equips each one of us to have an aspect of the ministry of Jesus, to be empowered, to be enabled by the Holy Spirit to do ministry like Jesus. You and me both, the whole body, all those who put their faith in him. And so that's what it means when the Bible says, when Paul says here this morning, what we're going to look at, he says, the church, the people, that you are the body of Christ. And that's what he's talking about, that his Spirit now literally lives in us. And there's not one of us that's going to be like Jesus completely, right? He was the only perfect, sinless one. But he equips each one of us then to fulfill part of the ministry that he did. And together, we become the body of Christ doing ministry like Jesus did and continuing that. And Paul uses, to give this illustration, he uses this great illustration of the physical body to describe the church and to describe us. And there's three things he touches on here, and I want to get through them, and I want to, again, get to the last one. But the first thing he begins to talk about is unity, that we are one body, that because of him and what he's done for us, we have a unity that goes beyond anything the world can understand. It comes from the power of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to pick up in verse 12. He says this, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all of the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ." And just a simple, great illustration, right? You look and you don't say, hey, Mickey's a hand or Mickey's a foot, right? It's the whole body, though it has many different members. That's what Paul's talking about here. And he says, "For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body." He's not talking about water baptism here. He's talking about that moment when you put your faith in Jesus Christ and he puts his faith, his Spirit in you. That's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so all believers, all that follow Jesus, all that have put their faith in him, he's promised, "I'm going to put the Spirit of life back in you. I'm going to put my Spirit in you so that you can now have life again and you can do ministry like Jesus did." So he says, "For in one Spirit we were all baptized." One Spirit, one God, one Lord, one Savior. We all serve one. And then he says, so we're all baptized into one body. And then he's going to say something here that's easy to read over. He says, "Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of the one Spirit." What he does here, and it's easy for us to not catch this because not knowing their culture, but the divisions that we have in our country and in our culture right now are huge. And can I tell you, those divisions have crept into the church in places where they don't belong. And you have people going at each other over things that we shouldn't be going at each other over. We should be united in Christ and who our Savior is and who he is. He's the answer for the world. Nobody and no one else. And so Paul says there, Jews and Greeks. You can say the debate that's going on in our country right now with Republicans or Democrat or conservative or liberal and all of the places in between that, and the two far extremes, they don't even come close to the division that was between the Jews and the Greeks, or between a slave and a free man. There was this huge, huge gap, and the Jews considered the Greeks not even human. And so there was this great divide. That's what Paul says here. Hey, that's broken by the blood of Jesus. We're now one. We're in unity with each other. And so the Corinthians in the church, and we've seen this since the beginning, chapter 1, they've been dividing, they've been fighting over almost everything. And Paul begins by saying, you know what, I've heard there's divisions among you. That's how the letter begins. He deals with it through the whole letter. And then what Paul's saying here, though, he's coming to becoming one body, trying to break through that division that was going on. He says, no. He says, you're all equipped by God with different kinds of gifts. You're all part of one body, but they all come from the same Spirit. So he's saying there's all these differences, but it comes from the same Spirit. Same Lord, same God. You all serve in different ways. And we do. We all have different gifts that God's given us. We all have different abilities. We look different. We have different opinions. Did you know that? Not everybody thinks the same way you do. Did you know that you still love them? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I'll plug in for that. But Paul's saying that all of these gifts and all of our differences are all there for one purpose, and that's for the building up of the body, to love one another, and to love the world, to be on mission with Jesus. That's why he equips us. That's why we're all different. We're not supposed to be clones of each other, but we are unified in him. And so that picture of unity within the church, and I just want to share this as our church family this morning, and for us, we see over and over and over in Scripture how important unity is to God. And can I just say, if unity is important to God, church, it should be important to us. If it's primary in Jesus' heart, it should be primary in your and I heart. And Jesus said this in John chapter 13. This is one of the many places he said this. But here's what he said, John chapter 13, verse 34. So now I am giving you a new commandment. Love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other, and your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Here's what Jesus says. He says, you know, the defining characteristic of being a Christian, of following Jesus, it isn't a lot of the things that we think often. And it's not the thing that the Corinthians were fighting. It's not which spiritual gift or how you're up here and everybody else is down here. That has nothing to do with it. The defining characteristic of those who love him is that they love each other. That's the number one defining characteristic of who we are as followers of Jesus, that it begins right here in-house, in family, that we love each other and that we love each other the way that he loved us. That's loving well. That's loving beyond differences and all of those kinds of things. And as we get to chapter 13 next week, he's going to go right into that. He's going to say, hey, all these spiritual gifts are great and he's equipped us, but I'm going to show you a greater thing. You know where he goes? He goes to love. He goes to loving one another. And that's not just an emotion or a feeling. Loving one another means caring for one another, means pouring out your life for the other person, means setting aside your agenda for somebody else's agenda, where we're inconvenienced in our life for the betterment of somebody else. It's the depth of love that he had for us, that he stepped out of all that was his and stepped into humanity because he loved us. And he calls us to that kind of love. And you know what? Did Jesus call us to be perfect before he loved us? He loved us with all of our faults and all of our failures. He came and he loved us that way. And can I tell you, with all of the faults and all of the failures and all of the differences, some of them are good, some of them are whatever, but with all of those, he calls us to love. It's not to love each other when we're lovable. It's to love each other even maybe when we're not so lovable. That's what he calls us to. That's different than the world. And he says, when the world sees that, they're going to know there's something different here. They belong to him. And it will point to Jesus, and it'll bring glory to him. That's the whole purpose here. And so every one of us, as a member of the body of Christ, I don't care where you think you fit or don't fit, but every one of us has an opportunity and a responsibility to guard and to help grow that unity within the church, to make every effort. That's the language that Paul uses in another place. He says, make every effort to maintain the unity. And that is to all of us. We're all part of walking in such a way that guards that and protects that and shepherds that. It's like, Lord, we want to keep your unity here. I'm going to love people. I'm going to open my heart. I'm going to open my life. And so he calls us to that. And so Jesus, he already made his family. We don't have to fight to be family. He already made his family. That's done. He made us one body. What we have to fight for is unity, to make sure that we all trust in him, that we're all loving the way that he loves, that we all hold together in spite of all of our differences. And so it's all of our responsibility. And so he begins with unity, and then he goes immediately, and he's done this through this letter several times, he goes to our diversity. Let's pick it up in verse 14. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. Right? So he's going the opposite. He says, first of all the members are part of one body. And now he says, but the body, it's not one member. It's not just a hand or just an eye. It's many members making one body. Verse 15, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. I find Paul's illustration here is simple and poignant and humorous. But can you imagine, you know, my hand, it doesn't belong to the body. There was an old Steve Martin movie where his hand, he got a hand transplant. Do you remember that? And he couldn't control it because it was somebody else's hand and it was off doing something. Paul's using this picture and he says, no, it's all part of one body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. And can I tell you, there's an important thing that Paul's saying in this specific sentence. There's a lot of people that come to church and feel like they don't fit in. I know there's people here that have come and you feel like you don't fit in. And I want to do everything. We want to do everything as a family to make that not happen. Because here's what Paul's saying. You can say, well, I don't fit. I don't belong. But you know what? You do. God said you do. Just because you're different, you think different, you dress different, you do whatever. What's he say here? He says, he's saying, yes, you do. You can't say I'm not part of the body just because I'm different. If you put your faith in Jesus Christ and he's your Lord, your God, your Savior, your King, then you're my brother or my sister. And I'm your brother. Ha! Sorry. Look what you got stuck with. Amen. He goes on here, verse 17. If the whole body were an eye, and this is kind of the opposite side of this, of people saying, I don't fit. Listen to what he says in 17. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? And what he's saying, we aren't supposed to be the same. We're not created to be the same. If we were all just focused, if we were all an eye, right? Oh, would we be of much use to the body? No. And what happens in this case, and what I believe Paul's addressing, God has equipped and gifted you specifically to be part of his body, to fit into this body, and to serve him in ministry. And what happens is a lot of times we think, well, why isn't everybody doing this? Can't they see? We're supposed to be hands. We're supposed to be out serving. And that's because God has given you that gift and you're passionate in that area, right? But somebody else is saying, oh, well, God's made me a foot. And I'm supposed to be going, and I do this. And so there's all of these different parts of the body that work in different ways. And Paul's warning against, hey, don't get down or frustrated with somebody else because they don't have the same passion that you do for ministry. We've all got different passions and different gifts that God has given us. And he says they all work together for the good of the body, for all of us. And so verse 18, he continues on. But as it is, and here... He says this three times in this section. This is the second time. He says, but as it is, God arranged the members in the body. Don't forget that. He's going to say it again here in a minute. This is God's idea. How God has gifted you was his idea. And he has a great purpose and a great plan for you within the body to serve and to love and to be part of that body. And so he says, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. He chooses. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, and here he goes back to diversity and unity. As it is, there are many parts, right? We're diverse, many different gifts, yet one body. Back to the unity. And just as a side note, back in the previous chapter, I think it was 11, maybe 10, he talked about, who did he say was the head of the body? Jesus. Jesus is the head of the body. And so he's the one that works in all of us and through all of us and makes all of those things work. And so Paul begins by telling the church that we have unity in purpose, that the body has one purpose. That's to love one another and to be on mission with Jesus out into the world. But that purpose is carried out in many diverse different ways by different parts of the body, right? Different gifts and different personalities. So they're Holy Spirit planned differences that all work together for the good of the whole family. Of the whole mission. And again, body, hands and feet and eyes and mouth and all of those kinds of things, but one body, one Lord, on mission with Him. And so we have one purpose, church, and we're unified in that. And that is to bring glory to our Savior, to love one another. That's what He calls us to. So unity and purpose, but we've all been gifted differently to serve and to love the body. And all of those gifts work together. Paul says in another place, every joint knit together, working like a body, the way that He's called us to. So every part doing its job for the good of all. And so our unity is built on our diversity. We're not supposed to be clones of one another. Have you ever gone into church and everybody dresses the same and everybody looks the same and everybody talks the same? And it's like there's a Christian language. And that's not what He calls us to. He calls us to this. Look around. You're around different people. And He calls us to love one another in that. And so our unity is built on our diversity. And our diversity, as each one of us functions in the gift that He's given us, builds unity in the whole body. That's God's plan and how it goes together. And so He talks about unity, and He talks about diversity, and then He talks about the third thing here. And this is the one that I really think just pertains to us this morning. He talks about our interdependence. We need each other. Did you know that? Even the person that you have the hardest time relating to, but they're a brother or a sister in Christ, you need them. That's what Paul's going to say. Listen to what he says, verses 21 through 26. He says, "The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again, the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.'" And can I tell you what Paul's addressing head on here is a desire to be independent, to be self-sufficient. And can I tell you, that's a great American value, right? Independence and self-sufficient. And there's a place for that. Not in the church. Not in the body of Christ. He calls us to be interdependent, to be dependent one on another. That we can't do this on our own. We're dependent on Him and we're dependent on one another. Every brother and every sister, part of the body. And he goes on here, "On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable or unseen parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require." And so what he's saying, you know, there's different roles within the body. And you know what? This happens so often within the body of Christ. There are people that serve and that love here at the River, that serve and love at other churches and all, that are never seen. Did you know that? I stand up here every week and I'm the mouth. Do you know how far the body would get with just a mouth? We'd get absolutely nothing done. This is not the most significant position in the church. I need you to hear that. If you think that the church is coming on Sunday and listening to somebody speak, the professionals that stand up here, you're going to have a warped, broken view of what Paul's trying to talk about here. This is not the most important. The most important is us, the body of Christ, all functioning together, the hands doing what the hands are supposed to do, the feet doing what the feet are supposed to do, the legs doing what the legs are supposed to do. And when any one of those, when you're not functioning in the role that God gave you, then the body doesn't function right. He calls us to all work together in that. And those parts, he says, that are unseen are the most important. He's pointing here to the fact that every member of the body of Christ is equally loved, equally valued, equally precious in the eyes of God. If you don't know that, I need you to know that today. He loves you. And He's come to live in you. And He's equipped you for whatever part of the body that might be. And you think about the parts that we don't see. How would it be if I decided this morning, you know what, my pancreas. Pfft, it's useless. Nobody sees it. I don't need my pancreas anymore. How about my lungs, right? Pfft, nobody sees my lungs. Let's get rid of those. What happens? What Paul is saying here, the most important stuff that goes on is not in the limelight. It's not the charisma. It's not all of that. It's people being his hands and feet where he's put him, in the trenches with people who are broken and hurting. And we have that all throughout the body. And he calls us all to be somewhere in there, serving him and loving him. I can't get through this section without getting myself in trouble. The body even needs a rear end. But if that's you, you know what? We only need one. We only need one, and we have many. No, I'm just kidding. Forgive me. Don't miss what Paul's saying here. He goes on, and this is the most important, the end of verse 24 to 26. And here he's going to repeat it. But God has so composed the body, third time, God's done this. He's the one that puts us together. He's the one that's equipped you. He's the one that's equipped your brother and sister to be different than you. It's his plan. And it's wonderful. So God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, and there may be no division. The word he uses here, it's not really this type of division. It's the word schism, which means there isn't different little cliques within the church that end up fighting against each other. Well, we're the this, or we're the that, or we're one body. Can you imagine? I was thinking about this. Let's say the hand decided that it was going to go to war with the head, right? And it starts just pounding the head. And it says, finally, the head falls off. I won! Well, no, you're not going to function anymore because you don't have the head. That's what Paul's talking about here. No schism, no division. The body doesn't fight against itself. And do you know, within the body, I read this week, and it's way over my head, but I love it. It's scientific, and some of you will love this. Even within the cells in our body, did you know that there's different cells that go to different places in the body that perform different functions? But they all work together to create the body and to make the body function and work. And then it was explained to me, do you know when you have a cell that decides that it's going to rebel against the other cells? Do you know what that's called? It's called cancer. It's called cancer. And that's what he says. We don't want that within the body of Christ. No schisms. That we love each other. That nobody is independent. We are independent, interdependent with each other. And so don't miss what Paul says is the opposite of division here. I think this is huge. Verse 25. He could have said that there be no divisions in the body, but that you all be alike and you all think alike. Does he say that? He doesn't say that at all. Here's what he says. There should be no division in the body. Instead, and here's the opposite of division, that you should have the same care for each other. Can you hear Jesus' words in that? Love each other the same way that I loved you. The way that we don't have division, that we don't have cancer that grows up within the body of Christ, is that we remember that even that brother or even that sister that's so different than me, I care for them. I love them. And when he talks about care here, he's putting feet to the word love. I do stuff for them. I go out of my way to fulfill their needs. I set myself aside for them. That's what he calls us. He says, you care for each other. He says, whatever your differences with another brother, another sister are, care for that person. Love that person. And can I tell you, that takes a couple things out of our vocabulary as Christians. We can never say, I have no need of them. Or we can never say, I don't have to relate to them. Yes, you do. You have to love your brother or sister. You have to care for them. That's active. You have to step into their life. You have to be willing to give up your rights for the rights of someone else. That's the love that he calls us to. And so we are one family. We are one body with many equally loved and equally valued, but completely different parts, different members, and who all need each other. We are all interdependent. And I just encourage you to let the Holy Spirit let that seep into our hearts as a church, that where we've got those areas, there's been frictions, there's been with all the faults and failures we have and the bumps and bruises and we step on each other's toes and all of those kinds of things, we need to go back one Spirit, one Lord, one God, and let Him work that miracle in and through our hearts that only He can do, and care for one another. And then Paul ends this section, this interdependence, this caring for one another, this loving one another like Jesus loved us. He finishes with one phrase here that couldn't be more timely for us, I don't believe. Verse 26, he says, if one member suffers, all suffer together. Can I tell you what happens when a part of your body becomes injured or broken? The rest of the body compensates for that. The rest of the body comes along to figure out, how are we going to get through this? How are we going to work through this? And that broken, suffering part of the body, and the same thing happens with the cell structure. It will come to bring healing and to bring wholeness. And so as Paul shares this with us this morning, when one member suffers, we all suffer. And we have hurting people today. And we come together to care for one another. To care for one another. And I want to do that in a just practical and wonderful way this morning, and in a way that He will let us be the hands and the feet and the body. And Mike and Noah and Aaron, I know I've singled you out, and you probably absolutely hate this because I know you guys, but we love you, and we are here for you. Our heart breaks with you, and we want to be the body, and we want to do that well, to love you and to be here for you. And ultimately, we all trust in Him to do that. And so with that, a couple of things real practical. Number one, we're going to close with worship. In fact, Tom, you guys can come back up. We're going to close worshiping together, going to the King, to the One that heals our broken heart, and He's the only one. But then I also want to give an opportunity. Casey has a sign-up list. She will be out here in the information area. But for Mike and the family, they're going to have family coming in this next week and for the next couple weeks. And we want to make sure that we provide some good food and some good meals. And I got real clear direction from Aaron and Noah on what they want and what they don't want. And we can put that out. But every one of us, we've got a couple weeks worth of food and meals. And I just encourage you to be part of that. We want to bless you. We want to love you in many more ways than that. But this is one practical way that we can do that. Casey had mentioned, as we bring the meals, you can sign up for Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or whatever that is. Sometimes we're here at the church, sometimes we're not. So if we're not here, there's going to be a cooler out front. You can put that meal in the cooler, and we will get it in time and make sure that it gets up to them. If we're here, come on in, and we'll take it from there. With that, we also have Carmen is back in the hospital. We've been praying for her, continue to lift her up, and but we want to get some meals. You guys look hungry. No, we want to get some meals out to the family too. So we've got a couple weeks of meals there. We got enough so that every one of us. What did Paul just talk about? The whole body working together to care for one another. And so I would encourage you. Don't think, oh, somebody else is going to do that or somebody else will pick it up. No, you pick it up. And let's give a great blessing of being the hands and feet of the Lord to our family and to love each other well. Amen? Amen. Amen.